You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever. And today I have the privilege of introducing Fraser Bailey to the show. He is the founder of Evolving Alpha. Once a butcher, now a vegan-based bodybuilder. He once was diagnosed with ADHD, learning disability, bipolar disorder, heavy long-term brutal depression, and borderline suicidal. Now a plant-based vegan. He is going to share with us how his eating habits and morning routine has cured his mental illness and has shaped his life for the better. Fraser, welcome to the show.
Lanita, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on. And I love that intro. And I'm really excited to share my crazy story with your audience.
Absolutely. Is that an Australian accent I hear?
It's New Zealand kind of meshed with American. So I'm from New Zealand originally, but living in America now for 8 years. So it's a weird hybrid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, we're going to hear all about it. I want to discuss today how changing habits can mess up your identity. And I believe you said that, and you would know very well how you can walk us through the process of that can happen.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that, like you touched on just before, is that I came from a very different life. And so in my teens back in New Zealand, I was a butcher. And from the age of about 12 through to 21, I was diagnosed with a range of mental health problems. Early on, it was just severe depression, which then I got a new diagnosis of bipolar disorder and severe social anxiety, just severe anxiety in general, ADHD, which is a learning disability. So I was on Ritalin for the learning disability. I was on benzodiazepines for the anxiety, and then I was on lithium carbonate for the bipolar disorder. I also was on, like, you know, Paxil and Prozac and Valium and all these other things over time. And so I was heavily medicated. And the sad part was that I started to build these sort of codependencies with the medications that I was on. So I was abusing the medications that I was using, as well as drinking, as well as using illicit drugs. And so, like, the combination of all those things, plus a bad diet, plus being in a really toxic work environment with a lot of alcoholism, a lot of men who were abusive to their spouses, it just really compounded, like you were saying. Those habits and those routines and those rituals really manifested themselves into the person that I was at the time. And having come from that to now be medication free for over 10 years, have been vegan over 5 years, don't drink, don't do drugs, you know, like, it's just a complete contrast. And getting into the bodybuilding world, and, you know, like you were saying before the show, to sort of paint a picture. So, like, I look very different, I guess, to the way that I think and speak. And so I'm about 200 pounds, heavily tattooed, sort of sub 10% body fat, like, looking quite intimidating. But at the same time, I feel like that's an old representation of myself as well. I feel like in many respects, I build up a lot of layers around how I should look to kind of protect myself. And so I've evolved as a person internally through so many conscious habit shifts over the years. So I'm really excited to sort of talk more about those shifts, because it happened in a series of progressions, series of conscious choices, through trial and error. None of this stuff was sort of like an overnight success, but I think actually sharing that it wasn't an overnight success makes it more realistic for people. They don't think, oh man, like, I'm struggling, I'm really beat up, I'm down and out, I've got all these problems. Like, Fraser's just lucky that he just had this miraculous turnaround. No, like, it happened over, honestly, like a 10 plus year period, and it still happens today. Like, I'm still going through changes even today.
Right. And it sounds like your compassion and you care for others, and that's why you and your wife started Evolving Alpha, because you want to be able to help others come out of this darkness that you once experienced.
Exactly. You know, like, one of the things that I love sharing, and, you know, on my social media, I share this a lot, and I am transparent about the challenges that I've been through, because I feel like if I can make the changes that I've made, based on where I was, anyone can change. You just need the right tools, the right environment, the right people around you, and to stimulate and sort of catalyze the right growth mindset. Because I think that if you can have people around you who have walked the path before you and have a result that you want, if you can be in an environment that's conducive with positive habits and healthier habits, I know that that does transfer and it does start to help you. And so like for me, seeing people struggle and recognizing that, like, you know, no diet plan or no training plan in and of itself is going to give someone a long-term result that makes them happy until they really shift how they think. Mm. And so that's why people relapse. Like they'll do an 8-week challenge or a 12-week challenge or whatever, and they'll get some quick results because they force their body into a position that it's not familiar with or not comfortable with. And then they relapse because they didn't upgrade their mindset. And so because they didn't upgrade their mindset, they go backwards and then they just repeat this sort of vicious cycle. And every time they do that cycle, it magnifies and it gets worse. And so for me, I recognize that your mindset and the habits that you adopt within your mindset is actually how you make the long-term results stick and last.
Hmm. You mentioned, you have a saying that you said the more vulnerable you are, the quicker you grow. So being able to lay it all down and realizing I'm not at my best right now, but I can actually get better. Being open and transparent in that way.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I found has been very helpful is that when you share what you've been going through from a teaching perspective, like, hey, like this is what I've been going through. I'm being vulnerable right now. These are some of the lessons that I've drawn from it. When you teach that to other people, it's in the teaching that actually reinforces the concept back into yourself. So very often people are like, well, I don't know how to make these habits stick. I don't know how to make these changes in my life stick. My whole thing is you need to be teaching it. Like the ultimate way to make habits stick and make them an inherent part of your psychology is to be teaching them. And so you don't have to be an expert, and because you're an expert in yourself. You don't have to be an expert in a certain field of knowledge. You're an expert in yourself. So as long as you're sharing your authentic truth and you're sharing your perspective and your journey and the lessons that you've developed, you basically reinforce and remind yourself the stuff that you have learned. And so every day when I go into my coaching groups and I share things or I share posts, it's as much of a teaching tool for me to remind myself of my own values, to remind myself of my own growth, and to remind myself of the things that I should be doing on a daily basis to stay, to get ahead of where I am now and to not relapse and to not go backwards by it. Because I find that a lot of people, if they don't share it, and they don't share it as a teaching tool, they tend to just keep it to themselves. And in that isolation, that's when you tend to start to struggle.
And that is very true. It resonates with me because as I create content for my podcast or for my books, I learn differently because a part of my brain is registering. I need to be able to explain this.
Yeah.
To like a 2-year-old. I need to be able to express this and not just gain the knowledge for my usefulness, for my professional development and personal development, but also for a greater audience. And I agree with you that if you wanted to make it stick, teach it and let that be a self reminder. So you become the example.
Exactly.
I love that, how you said that. Tell us about Evolving Alpha. I know the idea is around building strong, powerful, healthy individuals, but there's a different component to it that makes it unique.
Yeah. So with Evolving Alpha, you know, essentially a big part of our message is evolving what an alpha as in a leader, like a leader in this space, a leader as a human being, what they embody and what they represent. So in the past, and this especially pertains to masculinity, because what I found in the past is that a lot of men, especially in the South where I live in Louisiana, a lot of men associate sort of masculinity with hunting, fishing, a lot of sort of masculine sports where they connect with each other. And our whole thing being vegan, it's obviously a big part of that is nutritional health benefits, peak performance around optimizing your body, but also having compassion for other sentient beings, animals, people alike. And so what my whole thing is, I want to evolve what it means to be an alpha leader, like someone who is strong, someone who can stand in a minority when they feel like it aligns with their values, even if other people challenge them and even if other people think it's ridiculous. And so like, whether it's religion, politics, race, gender, anything, if someone has the courage to step into basically a moral alignment with what they feel is right and valuable to them, even if the majority don't see that, or even if they have resistance from other people, that's essentially what it means to sort of be an evolving alpha. And off the back of that, I think a big part of it for me was I'd been through so much in my own journey, coming from being a butcher, you know, eating animal products every day in huge quantities without even thinking about my health, with anything, the environmental impact, any of that stuff. And for me to go through these series of evolutions and to just challenge what I think is right and wrong, and to challenge my beliefs about everything, and to challenge my programming and my conditioning, I'm like, is this something that I'm consciously choosing, or is this a learned habit that's been given to me by my family, my parents, society? Very often when we really dig under a lot of our belief systems, we recognize that they're not actually conscious choices that we've chosen. It's been indoctrinated into us at a very, very young age. And we think that we're making a choice, but it's just something that's been given to us. It's like an operating system. And so with Evolving Alpha, we transcend all of those things. So we talk about how you become a more compassionate human being, but also how do you become the best version of yourself in the sense that how do you use plant-based nutrition to optimize your health, optimize the way you think, optimize your energy levels? Because for me right now, you know, like we have a one-year-old daughter, her name's Zia, and it's been a really challenging year for us. You know, like, I mean, new parents, having a one-year-old and operating our business, it's challenging. And so for me, I need to be the best version of myself, and I need to be strong and healthy and fit, and I need to be patient, and I need to be in control. And I'm still working on some of those things, but I find that the difference between what we do and what a lot of other people in the fitness health industry do is we really encompass and we dig into a lot around peak performance and psychology around nutrition as well. A lot of it is just abs and muscles and fat loss, and here's your program and go to a workout and you'll get some great abs and results. And for me, that was fine early on, but I grew out of that really fast. And it's just not enough. Like, that doesn't satisfy me anymore. I don't want to see someone get some fleeting result for 8 weeks and then relapse and go backwards and their mind is a chaotic mess because they don't have any good habits. We really want to cultivate positive psychology with people. So we work a lot around the psychology and the peak performance field as well.
Yeah. And so you all, what sets you apart is you people who work with you are being transformed by the renewal of their mind first, and then the goals set in.
Exactly. You know, and I think that is the way that we should be doing it. And you know, like with your listeners, for example, if they want to change their body, it lies in the habits that they have in their morning and evening routines. It lies in the stories and the sort of habit loops that they have in their mind. Because one of the things that I've said to people before is that one of the reasons why people struggle and they relapse is because rather than they see the cookie or they see the piece of cake as a reward mechanism. And rather than growing to the point where they recognize that those things are not necessarily going to help them, and growing to the type of person that doesn't need the cookie as a reward mechanism in the first place, they just keep fighting it. So they keep seeing it as a reward, and therefore they keep fighting the temptation. And that fight just wears you down mentally, and it's not sustainable. What I try and teach people is we'll literally do things like we'll measure their blood sugar levels and we'll track their heart rate variability. So the heart rate variability is basically like stress on your nervous system. And if you eat processed foods, if you drink alcohol, if you have too much caffeine, if you're overtrained, if you didn't sleep well, your heart rate variability will be affected. And it's an indication that your nervous system is not recovered properly. And that's when you feel like the crap, basically. And when we measure blood sugar levels as well, that's when you find you get energy crashes. So like for entrepreneurs, for people who are trying to reach peak performance, when you hit those sort of like lag periods during your day, it's typically partially because you probably ate something earlier that caused like a big blood sugar spike, and then the crash happens right after. And so what we try to do now is we show people like, hey, eat that cookie and then take your blood sugar readings and check your heart rate variability and see what happens when you look at some tangible numbers, like actual data. And so when they can see the peak and then the crash, and then they can feel the crash and they can see how it affects their nervous system negatively, it starts to make them realize how much like that food is affecting how they feel. And over time, if you do that enough, what we've found is that people start to grow and they want to become the type of people who don't feel those negative feelings anymore. They're like, that piece of cake just is not worth the feeling. And so we really start to use, we use a lot of, you know, strategies like that to start to train people to shift what they see as a reward mechanism. And I think that's a huge part of it, is really reshaping what you see as a reward. Mm-hmm.
You provide the why they shouldn't do it. You're not simply talking at them. You're not simply telling them what they should and should not eat. You're saying, hey, this is what will happen. This is the aftermath of having that one cookie and how it will trickle and affect, there'll be a domino effect to affecting your health long term.
Exactly. You know, and like, that's one of the things that I had to go through, is that I would still deviate, you know, in my own journey, while I was still trying to, you know, grow, every now and then I would grab, you know, vegan donuts, or I'd grab some vegan cookies or something, because there's a lot of processed vegan junk food out there. I mean, you can be really unhealthy as a vegan just eating a bunch of junk food. And I would find that my energy would crash out. I would feel irritable. A few days later, my skin would break out. It would just affect my sleep. I would sweat more at nighttime. There were so many little things that I noticed, and I was like, this is awful. Like, I'm so sick and tired of feeling these biofeedback cues from making these poor choices. And it took me many, many times of doing that before it really stuck. And I think what made it really stick was when our daughter was born, we had way less time to get as much work done as we'd ever done before. So now we couldn't just sort of lay around all day and just take our time. We had very short, compressed windows of high quality work that had to be done. And it meant that if I was not firing on all cylinders during that time, we just wouldn't get anything done. And so it was almost like that pressure led me to like really then optimize my diet further, because I knew that time, those time windows were so precious.
Mm-hmm. You have less time, and now you have Zia to to worry about. You'd rather spend quality time with her, and you need to manage your time properly, effectively. Let's segue into your morning routine. Now, I know you are busy, a new dad, and you're running a business and you're keeping your fitness. What's your morning routine like to help you get it up, dress up, and show up to do what you do?
Yeah. So I'll give you like a real tangible, rock solid series of steps that I use. So like, I'll literally tell you step by step exactly what I do. And this is through a lot of trial and error. This is just what I found works for me. So my morning routine obviously starts the evening before, because I feel like I get up so early. I get up at 3:45 in the morning, and I'm out the door heading to the gym to train at 4:45 a.m. And so I have a 1 hour period in the morning where I go through a series of steps and phases to sort of shift my state. But I try to streamline that process, because if I'm kind of like stumbling around in the dark trying to find my gym gear and all these other things, it's way too much extra work. So in the evening, for example, I'll fold my gym clothes. I'll put them in the bathroom next to our bedroom, so I can go straight in there and get dressed. I fill up my shaker bottles with clean water. I even boil the special tea that I drink. It's called Spring Dragon Longevity Tea. And so that helps with blood sugar management. So I'll boil 2 cups of that, and I'll mix 1 cup in a big glass of room temperature water. And I'll just have it sitting on the bench. So as soon as I get up, I literally get dressed and I walk straight out there, and I drink that water within probably a few minutes of me waking up. And I pre-select a podcast the night before, so I'm not kind of scrolling through trying to find something to listen to. I already have something I'm going to listen to. I hit play, or I take my phone off airplane mode, because I keep it on airplane mode at nighttime. Hit play while I'm drinking my water. I even set the coffee pot ready the night before. So I fill the little coffee sort of pot up with water, put the coffee ground in there. So all I have to do is turn the oven top on. That's it. Like, I don't have to do any of the finding the coffee and filling it up and all that stuff. It's just, it's there. It's ready to go. I let our dogs out while I'm in the kitchen, my coffee's boiling. What I do is I typically do like 20 jumping jacks, because what I found is that a really good way to kind of peak your energy first thing in the morning when you're feeling a little bit lethargic is to just move your body. And so you don't have to do like, a ton of stuff straight away. It's just 20 jumping jacks to essentially pump the lymphatic system, spike the heart rate a little bit. And that just kind of stimulates the systems to really kind of perk me up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then what I'll do is I'll finish off my water and the coffee is ready by then. I sit down on the couch and I start to sort of just slow breathe, belly breathing. And I just listen to this, whatever podcast I selected. So I just take, this is where I kind of slow down. I get my head in the game. I have a vision board that I look at. I even have a album on my phone that, with each picture on your phone, you can click a little heart button and it kind of saves it to like a little favorites gallery. And so what I do is I have like videos and videos of my daughter and my wife, videos of places we've been that were really fun pictures. And so I go through that gallery. It's like a digital vision board. And so like I scroll through that, I look at that, I play some of those videos while I'm listening to the podcast, and I just use it as a time to kind of like get my head in the game and remember why I'm doing all of this. Why am I getting up so early? Why am I going through all these routines? Because I'll be the first to tell you, there's many days where I wake up and I feel anxiety. I feel I tend to default towards anxious thoughts. And so because of that, I consciously have to move through these series of steps.
Yeah, it's really a great way to start your morning in a positive way. With a positive note, you're thinking about things that pleases you, and therefore I really strongly believe in law of attraction. You will continue to attract that to you and to your day, and that will really give you that boost of serotonin that you need throughout your day to have a fruitful and productive day. Fraser, I really thank you so much for coming on the show.
How do we connect with you?
The best way is just email.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.